morning.
Good morning. I'm back and I'm better.
I know. Ooh, I know the fiancés are just so excited to hear your voice back on the air.
I've missed you, fiancés. I'd like to not shout out the weather for creating one heck of a pressure migraine situation last week. Not it was good, ugly.
Bro. Not good.
Not a fan.
We are not fans.
Not when it feels like you're, you know, a very heavy animal maybe is just like stepping on your face.
Jeez.
But with your glasses off, you know, like my glasses didn't break.
Yeah. I could not imagine. I could not imagine.
Oh, no. Being told to sign into something that I have no idea what any of my logins could be. So that's fine.
We're getting prompted.
That's cool. Anyway, hi, fiancés. How are you?
Crystal said, good morning, lovely people.
Good morning.
Both of you sound super smooth this morning.
Ooh. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks, Crystal.
Good morning to you.
I think that's my allergies.
Put you in the smooth.
Yeah. The smooth is usually reserved for the evening. The smooth voice.
That's true. For your radio show where you do slow jams and dedications.
Get that going right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a favorite. Fan favorite. Everybody loves it.
Before y'all start asking, it does not exist. This is something else I have not shared.
It's true.
I'm good for having a bunch going on. But hey, man, you're back in the studio.
I heard you were amazing last week without me.
Is that what you heard?
Yes. I also, okay.
Go ahead.
I also heard, please don't leave us again.
With Ambush.
Alone.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
Oh, yeah. I bet you did.
And I'm guessing that some fiancés probably can guess who said something like that. Rudo.
Rudes.
We're not going to make you guys even. That should have been my first question. Who do you think said?
Don't leave us alone with Ambush.
Don't leave us alone with Ambush, please.
I feel like I behaved myself. I didn't talk comics too much.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Because didn't something came out or you saw something? I don't know. Something happened in the last week. You probably had plenty to chat about.
Spider-Verse came out, but I hadn't seen it yet. Yeah.
Have you seen it now?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to go see it without you.
Hey, you know.
Oh, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
It's quite all right.
Offend.
It's quite all right. I wouldn't see Transformers without you either.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's out.
Is it?
Hell yeah.
And this one is Transformers 15?
So today we're going to be talking about... It is not Transformers 15.
What is like? Okay.
Fast and Furious, you know.
Well, they're on 20. I mean, it's already been like the X situation, right?
Jeez, man.
Paul Walker is going to come back in one of them. I just know it. They gotta do it.
Yeah, they're going to do it. They're gonna do and, like an older story where they can do the face. Yeah.
And Vin Diesel's just going to spend the whole time like my brother.
It's about family.
It's
my
about
brother.
Family. And my brother's back.
But it's in the future. But it's in the past.
But there is a UFO that's coming to pick up this car and sling it off a cliff real quick.
You already know by now he's already proposed a time travel script for Fast and Furious. There's no way he hasn't.
Well, you can't spend all that time in Guardians of the Galaxy and not want to, you know.
So
it into the turbocharged world of Dom and the family.
I don't know if you guys saw this other thing I'm in, but over there they pulled a time heist. And I feel like that lines up perfectly.
Let me talk to you about the quantum realm.
I feel like time heist line up perfectly with family. And we can make it.
Go to bed. See, this is why they tell some people you don't get to do your ideas. You didn't know. Actually, we can't make that movie. There's a writer's strike. Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah, can we put a pin in that? And when we're done with the strike, we'll see what's up.
We'll come back to it.
Get some people
time.
Right on it. Mm-mm.
So a lot has happened.
Yeah, a lot has.
Also, there is the breaking news that my birthday is in 3 days. And so,
yeah.
Fiancés,
yeah.
I don't know where you're at on the gift giving.
You know what? While we're talking about that, your birthday gift list is, it's a masterclass. It's absolutely amazing.
Right now, no, everybody.
I was like, this is so well, first off, it's in the Google Doc with links. This is so well organized. Categories, like, looking at that, I was like, this is literally how her brain works. And it has to be in this fashion. And not like to your, like, you know, not a critique, but like, it has to be. Listen, this is the level of organization she prefers. And if you could meet her there all the time, it literally, you'd probably get less migraines. It'd make her life that much better. Like, but it was amazing. I was like, oh my, whoa.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Did not expect to receive a compliment for that list, but I will tell you, I worked real hard on it.
It looks like it.
I worked
really hard.
Really hard. That's also what my grocery list looked like. I have to
put it
in the different
categories.
Different categories. Yeah. You know, I need to. That's how I remember what is needed, like by the area of the store, kind of. Anyway.
Because you're imagining yourself walking the store.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, so it's almost my birthday. And
circle right back to
you that. Know, important thing.
It's the news, the details.
Do you think that they want to know? I feel
of
like
course,
they
might, of course.
You know, feel yes. like that's some news.
I think it's news.
It used to be news in my life, you know, and now.
Okay.
No, okay. Can,
yeah.
Okay. Just kidding. Send me presents. That's all I got. I do want to take a second, and I need to do this off air as well.
Okay.
But you brought me something last week while I was having, you know, not the time of my life last Thursday. When I finally emerged from my bed, I went downstairs and there was a bag with my name on it.
I was like, a vitamin water? What is she talking
about?
Oh,
you did. Also, that, shout out. Thank you
for
bringing
me all the liquids. That's what I was thinking about. But, okay, yeah, I did bring you something. Go ahead. Do that.
So there was a bag with my name on it. And I, for whatever reason, the fog of a migraine.
Yeah.
You're just not, your brain doesn't work. You don't know what's going on. And I had this moment of like, oh, this might be something that's like an early birthday present.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And here's the deal. Ambush knows this. I am a person who is like, I'm not opening my presents before my birthday. That's
she
crazy.
Won't. She won't do it, guys. She won't do it. There are birthday presents in the living room right now. And she's like, why are you
pretending like I don't see them is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't.
Because it's not my birthday, so you don't get to open presents yet.
Oh, hey, Morgan. It's you. Hey, them's the rules.
So that's what was happening when I see this bag. And I'm like, Ambush, do you know anything about this bag? Friends, no response. None, actually. So if you are a person with Ambush's number and you're like, oh man, I can never get him on the phone. Same.
Wow.
You know,
we're clear, this is not what the people tune in for. Details.
Isn't it?
Yeah, this is next. This technically.
All right,
you're
right. None of this is breaking news. Fine, but do let me finish.
Breaking bad is what it is.
Ah. So I don't open the bag.
Right.
And and you do, in fact, let me know that it is from the station.
Yeah. Picked it up while I was in the studio.
Oh, no way. I have to bust into that baby.
I said there was a bag with your name on it. And I was like, is this a news of my fiance? Is this for the show? No. Specifically Morgan Jones. I was like, oh, gosh. She gets everything.
Not only was there a bag with my name on it, there was a card inside with my
name on it.
There
was.
So this is, I want to take this second to thank Nina for taking care of me. Thank you. This is not to make any of you, you know, feel guilty or anything, but none of you got me a shirt, you know? And you know what Nina did? She did! I got that X-ray shirt, baby.
I didn't even see that. Wow, you threw that back on the fiancés.
You included. No, thank you, Nina. I was, number one, so shocked. Like, these are the kind of things that will make me happy forever.
It's true. It's true.
A t-shirt showed up to my house in a bag with my name on it? And a card? Oh, please. Nina can get whatever she wants out of me. What do you need?
Is there a fun drive tomorrow?
Is there a fun drive tomorrow? What do you need?
What are we driving? What's the fund?
I want to help. It put the biggest smile on my face. Yeah. And also, it's a really good looking shirt.
It's a pretty tight shirt. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I don't know if you've seen it. I hope you got one. I hope you picked the shirt.
Were those limited edition ones? Or are they on the website? I think the rose ones on the website. I think those are limited edition. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I remember that during the fun drive.
Those That's right. The rose was crazy. Yeah, huh. they really stepped up the designs. Like the
it's mage.
Looking real good out here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nina. You are a day maker, dream come truer. You know. All the things. Big all hearts. The things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I missed you guys. Apparently you didn't miss me. I'm not seeing any text messages telling me how hard it was without me and how how you were unsure if you should even tune in today, because wouldn't she be here? Like, nothing. You guys aren't.
You need to know how your absence traumatized them. Is that what you're looking for?
Traumatized is not the word I'm looking for. Oh, but or the feeling. I don't want that to be the case.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd like to know.
It sounds like you'd like to know they couldn't go on. Like, they couldn't go on with the rest of their week. And it was just like,
you're mistaking what I just said.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying if they couldn't, I would like to know about it.
Wow.
It's not an expectation, but had it happened.
If it threw your weekend plans off.
Yeah, if it completely ruined your next 3 days. I mean, yeah, I'd like to know. Or if it made them way better. You know, that could be the case. Just being a ambush out here.
This has to be Michelle. Classic cult leader tactics. Give me presents or be shunned. Y'all have any new events lined up this summer?
This is what happens when your fiancés know you a little too well.
Oh, man.
No shunning. You know, just be some presents. I know.
Classic cult leader. It's so
funny.
Oh my God. So ambush did all right, but believe me, you were missed. That's all I need.
Hey, listen,
hey, now that's there real talk. That's real talk. I am not under the impression that I alone, and this is my fiance, I am not the gladdest knight of these pips. It ain't happening.
Well,
I
know
this
thing.
Is a team.
It's a team, but I couldn't come here. If you were sick, then there is no show that.
That's only because you can't do the technical side. Once you get the technical side done, you're going to push me out the way. And then you're going to get an 8-person entourage. And I'm going to be stuck outside the studio like, hey, is there room for me in there?
Let me in.
Yeah. And you're going to be like, no, my videographer's in here. I got my assistant in here. I got my researcher. I got my engineer.
Man, this is a
can
team.
Can you go to Studio B? Studio A? Which one? B? Yeah. Can you go to Studio B and talk from there? We'll see if we can get your mic going. It's going to be like halfway through the show. It's like, and here's Ambush with the weather.
What?
Well, we'll get you up top for the traffic report.
Jeez. See? That's the world right there. That's the world we're looking
No, but
at.
Seriously, I could not do this show by myself. And so I'm, the times that you have had to do that, I am always in awe that you even make it home.
These are the best text messages ever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed.
John. Good morning, fiancés. Ambush was great last week, but no offense. It was like a barbecue with no sauce.
Oh!
The meat was still juicy, but we was missing the sauce. Yes. These are all great
and
things.
This is, and John, this is... Okay, number one. Good morning, John. Number two, Michelle, you see why you say something. I would not have gotten this, you know?
It's true.
And all the pats on the back, on the ambush back.
I don't know if it's, I mean.
It is.
I feel like it might still be called leader behavior, though.
In what regard? First of all, between the two of us, who's the cult expert leader over here? That'd be me, you know? So, and I disagree with you, so
I mean, that's. Am I next to you? What just happened just now?
I might be doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of people to witness.
Ooh, I want to hit the dump button.
You need to get rid of the last 30 seconds.
That last 30 seconds had some curses in it. Got to get those out of here.
Wowzers. This is awesome.
I'm really happy to be here.
Hey.
I'm very, very excited to get to the things that we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has been missed. Yeah. Just in the way of, you know, the way that having
cycles go.
Yeah. Everybody knows we don't need to do too much about it. Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump was indicted.
Yeah.
Arrested.
Yeah.
He's at home, but like he's got to have like some sort of
monitoring of some sort. Is he not a flight risk?
You wouldn't even need to monitor. Like everybody could go home because he's going to be all caps, truth socialing.
Yeah.
With his location on.
Yeah.
So we could find him no matter what.
Nah, that's super true.
Like even when he's faking a death.
Yeah, he can't lay low.
It'd be like, I'm back, baby.
Right. I did death better than anyone.
It was the biggest and baddest death.
No one dies better than me.
With the best funeral.
Yeah.
And now I'm living on Epstein Island.
Everyone had showed up for my funeral. And they'd do it again.
What? They would. They would show up to his funeral every day. Yeah, you know?
Geez.
But he's, you know, ding dong, the Donald is arrested.
I don't know, man.
You're not feeling it?
So much didn't happen during his presidency as far as like consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so much hasn't happened for so long.
But then you got two bangs for your buck, no?
No,
I mean,
it's
we've got multiple indictments going concurrently.
Here's the thing. You are right. I think, you know, I've seen the we got them button get hit so many different times that now it's just like, does any of it matter? Wake me up when it matters.
Oof.
Because I feel like I need to hear two things. One of two things. If I don't hear any of these two things, and if I don't hear either of these two things, then really none of this will continue to matter to me at all. One, the consequences of this indictment or anything that's happening means he can't run. That's the first thing I need to hear. The second thing I need to hear is he's been sentenced. Like these, anything outside of those two things aren't going to be, they're not going to be news stories to me. They're not going to elicit any emotion out of me.
Okay.
Because the rest of it's just like, yeah, cool. The Dems don't have teeth and someone's going to pardon them because a president shouldn't go to jail. And this is me taking the high road. Thank you for your support. I am Joe Byron.
Like, you know who wouldn't do that?
Who?
Cornel West.
Who, as of last week, you guys, has switched parties. We had a spirited discussion, but it was just me ranting last week about it. Into the airwaves.
I watched a Cornel West interview yesterday, and I appreciated hearing just basically like, yeah, I didn't know all that stuff happened. I didn't know that stuff was going on with the People's Party. I was unaware to that stuff. And I know for you, that is not a good answer because that then is like, so where were you when deciding to do this? But it kind of sounds like the way that went is exactly how those things go. But us folks over here who don't understand the idea of even running for president, I guess, would be like, wait, what? So they, you know, he was asked to run. And
by that party?
Yeah. Which he was loosely affiliated with in the beginning of the formation of the party and then was on the board, but with Nina Turner and other people. And
so it was a cash grab for the party.
I think.
Oh.
And trying to find some legitimacy.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, that party doesn't have any actual access to ballots and it's, you know, I mean, knowing that that's a run that's not going to go anywhere. Yeah. It's an interesting ask, you know, like.
It's still questionable for me, though, because sans all of the scandal, right? This is still a party that, again, is only on the ballot in a few states. So again, Cornell, take the scandal away. Are you saying you didn't even know that they don't have any ballot action? Did you not know that either? Because that still to me is like, what are we doing?
I have things. I think that there are reasons to run for president that are not you planning to be elected.
Issue candidate, I've heard it referred to as that.
Yes. Okay. Like, one of the things that Bernie was able to do in 2016 was at least move the conversation less to the right, you know, and pull it just a little bit away from that. And at the very least, able to get folks who didn't understand previously how important the solidarity of the working class is. And I think that Cornel West is a great vehicle for a lot of the progressive policies that we need in order to continue to have, you know, a place to live.
Yeah. Yeah. All the things
we need. All the things we need. And I think that he's another, you know, he's a voice that's able to unify in a non-performative way. And I know that that is a thing that is bothersome for some folks. I mean, that we are very much in the, this is my camp. I don't want to hear from people outside of my camp. I don't, why would you be talking to people outside of our camp? Why would you be talking to them with respect, you know? But you can't unify all these different working class people without reaching out.
Yeah, not sure.
That's so, true. You know.
Okay. To make it a sense. We have a couple of texts.
Okay.
Trump has sabotaged his own case so thoroughly. Lawyers are practically fleeing the country themselves. But the real winners are his Republican opponents who can publicly support him and enjoy a smoother path to more to their more palatable brand of fascism.
I couldn't agree more. I mean,
Shelly Show.
It is pretty interesting. Just how bad he is at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the...
So good at being so bad.
But it's also real good with, like, not facing a consequence for it. So it's it never, like, throws me for a loop anymore when I just have to realize, oh, like, no, you are throwing a tantrum because that is how you communicate. You didn't learn how to do any of these things. You do just get away with this stuff.
It's a weird, it's a curious, curious case for me. Like, he doesn't pay a consequence, right? And it's not because he's special. You know, people in that tax bracket, that level of power and influence, don't pay consequences. The problem is they're not usually in a position where they're constantly called on that. He's just so out loud and blatant and just the hubris he moves with. The things that he does, a lot of them do it. We just have no idea when it's happening. He just is like, well, you know, I'm just going to steal these papers and say I gave them back and, you know, have photo, have, just put them in a public place like my bathroom where people can see them and anyone can snap a photo. It's like, he doesn't do any quiet criming at all. Like, at all.
I mean, what you just explained, and let's add on him being literally saying, I shouldn't show you this. Had I had declassified this when I was president, but I guess I'm not president anymore, so I can't do that. So I'm not supposed to show you this, but here we go. Look, take a peek. But also, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But also, I could have just said, it's fine for you to see this. Interesting, right? What?
He's a white collar criminal with the strategy of a henchman. It's like,
I don't know. I feel like henchmen might have better strategies.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not like they're going to jail every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But he gets caught on, like, and I don't know. I can imagine other people being like, come on, bro.
Is the sabotage.
All the money you have, you couldn't find anywhere secure to put these documents and pretend like.
I mean, there's not one safe at Mar-a-Lago.
Not one.
Not one. We did get another text. which says, I wish no specific harm on anyone, but when the time comes for the Trump funeral, I will not be able to attend. However, I will be able to send a note saying that I approve.
I approve this.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know?
I'm a fiance and I approve
this. Don't you want to just show your support?
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing here.
I approve.
I approve.
Yeah.
So, we got some things to talk about.
Yep.
I did want to throw out a question, and maybe we say the stories we're going to talk about, and then I'll ask the question. Get some text during the music break.
Okay.
So we're doing we got two locals today. There's a new gauze cloth for the houseless crisis. Safe Harper is entering the chat, pledging to do what existing orgs do, but you know, bigger, faster, stronger, and with a security force on the side.
My dear word.
And in case you missed it, the Department of Homeland Security, X's and O's, Andy, no.
That's right. Didn't get a chance to hit it last week, and we're bringing it back.
And in national news, chapter presidents of Kyle Rittenhouse's fan clubs are melting down across the country as another hero, Daniel Penny, gets indicted.
Man. That was pretty good.
Thank you. So,
That's what we're covering today.
That's what we're going to cover today. But while we were gone, the Unabomber died and created quite the kerfuffle. You know, I know that he was such a hero to the GI jobbers out there. Those aggrieved for things that didn't happen to them. And one wonders how many people were introduced to certain ideas or further influenced by his manifesto being accessible nationwide. And this was, you know, long enough ago.
Yeah. I feel like it's.
That we can say today a manifesto is like immediately on Twitter or something, right? Like it makes it its way over from 4chan or
quick fast.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no, I was saying, yeah, it makes it quick
makes
fast.
Makes it quick fast. I was like, oh, it's 8 o'clock, so I'm so I have I really want to know, fiancés. This is the kind of thing that, you know, if you're in any sort of journalism class or communication class, they're going to ask you, should those kind of things be shared with the public? And do you think manifestos should be printed in the paper or posted online? Does it serve the important as an important learning tool, or does it do more harm than good?
And we're back. This is News of My Fiance, that old Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, right here on X-Ray FM. But you know that because you're already tuned in. And you also know that because you're a loyal listener. And you tune in every week. But shout out to the new listeners. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Speaking of a text.
I mean, like, are you a new listener or are you looking to be a fiance? You know what I'm saying? Like,
is you already
trying to be a part of the team or no?
Is you already in a committed radio relationship with somebody?
You know? And if you are, you know, just be honest about it.
Oh, you can't have no friends?
Okay, let's not. Now it's getting too.
No.
Now it's getting too. I feel harassed.
The other radio show said you can't have no friends.
Well, just listen to us a little bit longer and see which one you like better.
Then I hear right now, though.
Okay. Ambush, what? I asked you.
Oh, all right. I'll dial it back. So we got a text. If it was just Morgan doing the show, it'd be like the barbecue place up the street where they give you more sauce than they give you meat.
Wait a minute.
We literally have the best listeners
in the
United States of the world. Wow.
You know, this is one of those moments. I'm unsure what to do right now.
Hey, no.
I am proud of that text.
Yes.
And I'm also like doing the people's eyebrow, but I don't actually have the control to do that.
The with my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't have that. You know what? I'm feeling inadequate. I'm out of here.
I'm pulling my
headphones. That's it. I'm out of here.
I'm glad you got it.
Not all the sauce, message. No meat.
That is hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious.
I feel like I was, you know, I do it for the vegans.
What? Get out of here.
No. Okay.
Nothing against vegans, guys.
At all.
Be clear. I have nothing against vegans. Obviously. I had a really good pastry yesterday.
Did you?
Whoa.
The, what's the word? The abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of those amazing pastry chefs out there.
Yeah.
With vegan and gluten-free. And I am not a person who thinks those are the same thing.
No.
Friends. Okay.
That's not how she runs her cult.
No, my cult just literally has donuts. And
yeah.
They are of all kinds, you yeah. know?
Mm-hmm.
So that everybody can have the donut of their dreams.
I know, that's right. There's a pitch.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Join it.
Yeah.
Got to get a name for the cult. Michelle, should we work on the
okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, you and Michelle in your own
back
time.
Back to with... work.
Yeah, please.
I don't remember what I say now, so it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. Has exponentially changed. I just remember how sort of really gross some of the early gluten-free things were.
Yeah. Shaped it like a piece of chicken, but it doesn't taste like one. So could you stop?
Well, I was talking about pastries. But
well, I was just saying food, vegan food in general at first was just like, I think you guys are focusing on trying to convince us of something as opposed to focusing on the herbs, spices, and actual flavors.
But I think that changed pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
For our version of experiencing a boom of vegans.
Yeah.
Because I think that happens all the time.
It's delish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember those old veggie patties that had vegetables in it?
I do.
Ooh. Bad business.
I also just wasn't going to choose to eat that, much like I'm not going to choose to eat that today. Where is Rudo? Just asking.
He's somewhere lurking in the shadows.
You know.
When Malcolm popped up.
Malcolm?
Good morning, DJ Morgan and DJ Ambush. DJ Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. I was out sick Thursday as well. Welcome back,
Malcolm.
P.S. Ambush did a fantastic job holding it down last week.
Thank you, Malcolm. It's nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
I hope you're well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you were sick. I hope you're feeling better.
Not cool, man.
Malcolm. Things are happening out there. Also, we're going to have to dedicate like 4 episodes in a row to COVID. I don't even know. I'm trying to get caught up, but
yeah,
it sounds like there might still be a panini.
Yeah.
A panoramic. A Polaroid picture coming right back around at us. It is going down in other countries right now. And
no, really?
Yes.
There's a new strain?
Jeez. Yes.
I have fatigue.
We all do.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I need to learn more.
Tighten up, Ambush. You're not the only one out there with fatigue.
Well, I mean, come on. It's been years. And we're just being gaslit. For most of those years of like, I mean, as long as you wear a mask and get vaccinated, you're good to go. And I'm not saying don't do those things.
Right.
I'm saying
it is a mitigating factor.
I'm saying I really wonder what it would have looked like had we had taken care of this a completely different way. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You
like
know,
a better federal
maybe,
response? Sure.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, I don't know what we would have needed to do to convince the people who were gonna like stay at home anyway, but then we're like, no, I gotta fight for my right to party. And
I need a haircut, bro.
Supercuts is having a sale, even though they weren't. You know, like I don't know how we could have got those folks to not do what they did.
Yeah, the death numbers didn't mean anything to them. That didn't scare them.
It doesn't scare them today. They're still like,
they're still fighting for what they have already. Yeah, choices.
As we learn more about long COVID and how it's like changing our DNA, that is one of my favorite things of the people that are like, just keep getting it and then you'll be immune. Heard.
This is an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
The I hope
planet...
the ending's better than...
Oh.
Sorry.
Servant? Was it Servant?
You know, you didn't need to make me upset.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean
it. I just really can't believe that it was so bad. fiancés, did anybody watch Servant on Apple? M. Night Shyamalan series?
He did not stick the landing there.
We were doing so well, and then, boy, oh boy.
He pulled a Benny off, and was it Weiss on you?
He pulled an M. Night Shyamalan on me. You throw the village at the end.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And I said it, and I meant it.
I really need you to just chill out. This is a point of contention with us. The Village is an excellent film. Brody just showed up.
Literally like, not true. It.
Like, what? Any,
an excellent any, film? Ex- I feel I like we're it. Forgetting what words mean.
Come on. It walked.
You know, we haven't done any news.
That's true.
It walked in a park the center of the city in the middle of it all. And they were like, I've never heard of a car. Horse and buggy. Get out of my face.
We got a text.
There is a whole postman standing next to you giving out mail.
Like, between your show and sex, drugs, and basketball, I always know that no matter how the rest of the day goes, Thursday will always begin and end with a smile.
Yay!
A yayer. Oh my God. And he has arrived. Did you see?
No.
Morgan's back, all caps. Thanks the gods. Rudo Shyamalan.
Good morning, Rudo.
Rudo, why are you like this? Why must you be like this?
I am so happy to be back.
Yeah,
maybe,
man.
We just won't even do the news. Oh. You know? Oh.
It can't just be a party in here.
It's just a party.
It's not a party with my fiance.
Oh, you said it can't be?
It can't.
Are you putting a T at the end?
Yes.
I think maybe my headphones are turned down something. I can't hear you. Can't. You said pizza party.
I did not say pizza party.
Oh.
No.
Too early for pizza.
Yeah.
Who says?
I says. Are you talking cold pizza or hot pizza?
In this moment, yeah. I would tear down a piece of cold pepperoni pizza.
Why does cold pizza become breakfast? Just because it's around? It's legit like a breakfast food.
It's literally ready food. I mean, it's all the way together.
How come Portland doesn't have cold pizza breakfast spot?
Pizza breakfast.
That's so Portland.
I think we just gave away a $1 billion idea.
We
on
have
the...
got to get to the news. Speaking of $1 billion, $1 million ideas.
Ooh. Okay, let's see. Which one do we want to do first?
I think we start with that safe harbor sitch.
More capitalizing, I mean privatizing of the war on poor people. That's what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Cool. A new nonprofit organization in Portland says it aims to connect homeless individuals with shelter and support. Private security company founder named Alex Stone has established Safe Harbor, a religious nonprofit dedicated to addressing the growing issue of homelessness in Portland. Stone was inspired to create Safe Harbor after witnessing the pressing challenges faced by the homeless population in the city. Safe Harbor operates by offering homeless individuals transportation to shelters, as well as providing them with food and other essential resources. Additionally, the organization employs a team of security guards who patrol the vicinity of the shelters, aiming to deter crime and ensure the safety of those seeking assistance. What is Urban Alchemy again? Stone believes that Safe Harbor presents a more effective approach to tackling homelessness compared to traditional government programs. He contends that government initiatives often suffer from bureaucracy and inefficiency, resulting in inadequate support for homeless individuals. Although Safe Harbor is still in its early stages, Stone expresses confidence in its potential for success. He's already received positive feedback from homeless individuals and the wider community regarding the organization's efforts. Mm-hmm. While Safe Harbor is currently operated by a small team of volunteers, Stone envisions expanding the organization in the future. It is important to note that Safe Harbor operates independently and is not affiliated with any other religious organizations. The nonprofit relies on donations from individuals and businesses to fund its operations. However, some individuals like Juan C. Chavez of Oregon Justice Resource Center have expressed concerns about the privatization of public services, asserting that it can lead to unaccountable waste. Stone's involvement in various nonprofit and commercial entities has raised questions regarding the connection between private businesses and public agencies. Critics argue that the interests of both entities align when it comes to moving campers to shelters, potentially resulting in an unaccountable allocation of resources. Mm-hmm. Opponents of Safe Harbor have also raised several concerns. Firstly, they argue that Safe Harbor only offers a temporary solution to homelessness, rather than addressing the underlying causes such as poverty, mental illness, and addiction. They also contend that the organization's focus on religious conversion and its contractual requirements may stigmatize homeless individuals and hinder their chances of finding permanent housing and employment. I think that would be what would normally be called a backfire.
Yeah.
Moreover, critics point out that as a private organization, Safe Harbor is not subject to the same level of public scrutiny as government programs, potentially compromising transparency and accountability. Here's the thing. I want to, because, you know, there was just the Tony Awards, where shout out to all of the folks who do incredible performances live and receive awards for it. And then there's the people like Alex Stone here who do these performances and they don't get a night on the town. You know, they don't get praised with a standing ovations. Mm-hmm. They just get all of the money that should be going to actually helping people who need these resources. What are we doing? Where is the person? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Who's the person who says yes to this can be a nonprofit?
Right.
Because the yes getting approved when this is a person who owns a private security firm, and that is a part of the pitch. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the pitch. I'm going to pass out socks and water bottles to homeless people. Give me money to start a nonprofit. I'm going to put a donate button and folks are going to donate and keep this grift afloat while the crisis gets worse. People do not get helped. And then we're back to, we're going to need to give more money to the police. We're going to need to actually make it illegal for people to be outside. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to change the laws around because why would we do? Tell me, Ambush, how this is different than what Urban Alchemy is about to do with the Safe Rest Villages.
In some ways, it's worse.
No.
Definitely. One of those ways, it's interesting that you did make that Hollywood comparison. And some might be like, you know, I don't know if it's that bad. But it is, because I don't know if, we didn't mention it in the story, but I did see it in some of the coverage in the article that you sent me. They are filming their interactions with the houses. Like, they're out there with the camera crew when they are distributing resources.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, if that doesn't communicate scummy, if that's not nasty work, I don't know what it is.
Then maybe they don't know what nasty work is. Because
yeah, that's nasty work.
If this were just a person who was, you know, out here making content out of people's suffering.
Right.
Which I don't know. I think we've talked about a few of those kind of accounts. But a little more recognizable, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not under the guise of a nonprofit that's here to help, and someone's got to step in.
Right.
You know, imagine saying that you are more efficient than the government, but your entire idea is the exact same thing that's already happening.
Right.
The exact same thing. You don't think that there are, I mean, you don't think that there are already nonprofit organizations out here doing exactly that? You don't think that there are city workers that already do exactly that?
Are they Christian nonprofits? Are they requiring that people take the Lord as their
savior? If you're a religious nonprofit, is that a double whammy? Like, do you just, because, you know, like if you're a nonprofit, the tax situation is different. Mm-hmm. And then if you're, you know, a church, you're exempt. And so it's like, is it a double, do you just get.
Right.
Part of the budget.
How does that work?
Or something? The city budget? You just get some of it?
It's gross.
I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Adding religion into, and morality into what your solution for, what folks are experiencing in that moment. It just, none of it makes sense to me. I don't know how we can talk about morality, but not talk about the reason why anybody is there. Like, right. What's worse? The absolute policy choices that we are doing in order to keep people destitute.
Can I answer that question for you? How we can discuss, you know, morality and not discuss how people got there. Coming from a Christian, conservative Christian perspective, this is your lot in life. Their systemic oppressions aren't really a thing. It's what God has chosen for you. And wherever you fall, when God rolls the dice and you're born into whatever that, wherever you exist on the caste system, it's what you were, where you're supposed to be. These struggles define you. They turn you into a better Christian.
Oh.
And then if there are Christians that are maybe, you know, born into higher places of privilege, then it's their job to be Christ-like and help others that are in lower positions. It's very...
But the help others in lower positions is just by, like, bringing them socks.
Yeah.
And a Bible. Or the word. Is that what you're saying?
You're daggone right.
And in order for these socks to actually keep your feet warm, you're going to need to believe.
Yeah. I mean, how else...
Michelle, I'd like you to know I could never be a cult leader. Okay.
How else can you spread God's word to the less fortunate if there are no less fortunate?
Oh, Barmageddon.
Hmm?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Also, is anybody else caught on the idea of God rolling the dice, but it's also your lot in life and that's where you were supposed to be? And I'm not saying that you misspoke. I'm saying that is exactly the way that that ends up getting interpreted. And I'd like to know how those two things are. How's that work?
Yeah.
It's early in the morning, you know, or I guess it's not anymore, but maybe my brain's not.
Not braining
yet, but like the it don't make sense.
No.
The absolute last thing we need is another nonprofit to come in and pass out flyers, the word, and have a 15-passenger van that will take people to a shelter that cannot accept them. Like, tell me you know nothing about the houseless crisis, the homeless community, without telling me.
There are two things that I want to mention before we switch stories. Not saying we switch stories soon, but I just want to make sure I put these on the table. I don't know why, and it wasn't until yesterday while working on this story, or maybe seeing something else online, that the word camping hit me in a way that I don't even like using it anymore. Because they're not camping. And it makes it sound, you know, like...
Leisure.
Yeah, it makes it sound like leisure.
Fun. Choice.
Right. That's the word. Thank you, Morgan. That's the word I was looking for. It makes it sound like a choice. This isn't camping. This is surviving. But also, to your point of, you know, people trying to grift off of the crisis, she who will not be named was on Fox just recently. And I can't remember the Fox host, but they were going at Urban Alchemy, saying this is $50 million wasted. Urban Alchemy is corralling the houseless community. It's corralling addicts in a way that makes it, of course, you know, just a garden of possibility for drug dealers. So what did they think was going to happen? If you pull so many addicts together, why wouldn't it attract drug dealers? Like, this is just money being wasted.
Who said that?
She who will not be named.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
On Fox.
Yeah, because that's a good waste use of everybody's time and resources.
Fox loves her. She loves Fox.
Well, someone's got to.
Yeah, they get to, you know, have someone on the ground at, you know.
Sounds a lot like using Andy Ngo as a source.
Whew. Lord of mercy.
Sounds a lot like that.
It's disgusting. That Andy Ngo situation, it's disgusting. I'm really excited to get into that story.
Well,
What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
I will do what thou wilt. I can read off a couple of texts, take a music break, and come back hard with Andy. No.
That's exactly what I want you to do. Look at that. Mind reader.
Catching up on the text. This is Malcolm. On the topic of vegan food, I do make a mean King Oyster carnitas, quote, tacos.
Ooh.
This photo looks great.
Okay, that looks banging.
Yeah. Okay, Malcolm in the kitchen.
We do see you.
Huh? That was my play on Malcolm in the middle.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
I think everybody got it. They all laughed. I hear it.
Rudo. Morgan. I screamed Scooby-Doo and stormed out of the theater seeing the village.
Thank you. See, you know,
I'm going to block your number, Rudo.
Report blocked. Rudo, thank you. This is, I mean, ambush.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know how sometimes you just feel like you have to keep something going? You know,
is that
it feels very much like you can't be really invested in this movie. You can't mean excellent when you say excellent.
I say the same thing about Pacific Rim and people look at me weird. I love Pacific Rim. I keep forgetting it's Guillermo del Toro, but I just love the film. Right?
Listen, the way your face just lit up.
Yeah. My guy.
We'll finish the text.
Okay. prosperity gospel dictates that if you're a holier God, will reward you with material goods, built-in justification of wealth disparities.
Oh, if you're holier, God will reward you.
All right, if you're holier, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Built-in justification of wealth disparities. That is...
Yep. Thank you.
Purposeful.
Thank you for summarizing that for me. But yeah. 'Tis my experience in the Christian church. Also, Morgan, don't worry. We're not comparing you to actual cults like those we're actually describing. Just giving you crap about your incredible charisma.
You know what, Michelle? That has to be Michelle, right? Yes. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I thank you. I'll be quiet.
No, please don't. Give the people what they want. We got some texts. We're going to get to those texts, but first we're going to get to this story. Signed, sealed, delivered. Oh, no. Let's talk about a new report that raises concerns about the politicization of intelligence by the Department of Homeland Security, that old DHS. A report published by The Intercept found that DHS has been using the work of far-right activist Andy Ngo in its intelligence reports. Noah is a self-described journalist who has been accused of bias and of promoting violence against left-wing activists. He's been banned from Twitter for violating the platform's policies on hate speech. The report in question was issued on December 16, 2022, by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency's Office for Bombing Prevention. It pertains to the Atlanta protest movement known as Stop Cop City, which opposes the construction of a massive police facility by clearing a forested area. Surprisingly, the report referred to the protesters as militants involved in a violent far-left occupation. These phrases were nearly identical to those found in an article by the right-wing provocateur published on a conservative news outlet called The Postmillennial. In one report...
I'm sorry. The post-millennial, just so clever.
The post-millennial.
Okay.
All right, and I'm back at it. In one report, Ngo's work was used to support the claim that Antifa is a violent far-left extremist movement. In another report, Ngo's work was used to support the claim that Antifa is planning to disrupt the 2020 presidential election. Had planned to.
January 6th.
Oh, yeah. Those Antifas.
Mm-hmm.
The CISA report stated, quote, five militants, part of the far left occupation, were arrested and charged with domestic terrorism and other felony charges, explicitly mentioning the protests against the police facility nicknamed Cop City. The report also found that DHS has been working with Andy Ngo to gather intelligence on Antifa. In one instance, DHS provided Ngo with a list of Antifa activists in Portland. No, then published the list on his website. This revelation becomes even more significant. Because he's a journalist. Right. Considering that the DHS subsequently blocked public access to the intelligence report following its publication. The timing is noteworthy as well, as it came just a month before a protester was fatally shot by the police at the proposed Cop City site. The incident marked a severe escalation in the ongoing crackdown against the movement. The use of Andy Neal's work by DHS has been criticized by civil liberty groups. The American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, has called on DHS to stop using Neal's work. The ACLU said that Neal is a biased and unreliable source of information. DHS has defended its use of Neal's work. DHS said that Neal is a credible journalist and that his work is relevant to our intelligence mission. The use of Neal's work by DHS raises serious concerns about the politicization of intelligence. It also raises concerns about the role of DHS in monitoring and suppressing dissent.
What did it say? Hold on.
He's a credible journalist.
The work is relevant to our intelligence mission. Did they just tell us out loud we just trying to stay asleep? Intelligence is for other agencies?
Oh, no. This is what they said out loud.
Did they say?
Well, I think the word we need to hone in on is mission. The work is relevant to their intelligence mission. What indeed is your mission?
Well, that's my point. Is the mission to stay stupid?
Oh.
In the dark.
Okay. All right.
If that's the mission, fantastico.
I think the mission is to stamp out the Antifas.
It's pretty amazing that a government agency, even when some government agencies recognize the domestic terrorism that is right-wing extremism, which is what we're experiencing in this country, a rapid rise. There is no far left plot that is happening because the propaganda has been successful.
Yeah.
It has been successful in shifting the way that so many people see things, that they're just taking those big, you know, electric slides to the right.
Facts.
But for DHS to consider someone, I will say someone in DHS, the chud who is Andy Neal's buddy that loves his Twitter feed, that can't get enough of it, that has legitimized that within a federal agency. And then he's the person that gets to, he's the self-proclaimed journalist that gets to all of a sudden be credible, even though in every way he has been not just debunked, not just like,
yeah,
but this is a person who flatly lies and then will sue you.
Right.
Because you said you be lying.
You got kicked off of Twitter.
Well, I mean, he got reinstated, too. So.
Oh, he did get reinstated. Oh,
well, of course. What do you think?
What am I thinking? Yeah.
Come on now.
This
we know who gets to what free speech means.
Shout out to real journalists.
Period.
Because it's the self-proclaiming journalists that are really doing it for me. You know, again, she will not be named as a community journalist. Self-proclaimed. Andy Neal, self-proclaimed. Listen, do you hear yourself? Self-proclaimed. Journalists, no credentials. You've done no training. It's just you're proclaiming yourself. You are making yourself important. You want to edify your voice above everyone else's because I'm not just some guy tweeting. I'm not just some person on the grams. I don't know if you know this. I'm a journalist. Guess what, guys? No. Everyone with a camera is not a photographer.
You are just reporting live from somebody else's business. That's what you're doing.
That's it.
With none of the deets, none of the context, all of your bias, all of your big opinions and little information.
Yeah. No facts.
No option for a critical thought because that's not what you're there for.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Do love using those words, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't do it to save your life.
But, you know, shout out to them. Wolves are going to be wolves. That's great. The DHS.
a real laughing matter here.
Yeah.
You know?
The DHS thinking that this is a good decision in legitimizing Annie No and, you know, creating what's the word I'm looking for? Just first off,
safe harbor.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Nice callback. It's going to just create more Andy No's, first off, and it's going to make them feel like you're emboldening them. Like, I don't know who I don't know who they think they're fooling. We talked about it earlier with Donald Trump. It's just the out loud, just right there in front of our faces.
So I think that you just answered it.
Yeah.
Who are they fooling? They don't need to. That's not the point.
You're right.
I mean, the point is to fool, but it's not to have to hide it. It's if I do all of this out loud, I mean, the lessons have been learned. Mm. I'm over here telling you people, I'm not a real journalist. I call myself that.
Self-proclaimed.
I made my press pass.
I have a lamination machine at home. Don't try me.
Cost me $25 on eBay. Oh, boy. So, yeah. I mean, what we have to be able to do is discern what is news. Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, more ChatGPT, you know, language models are going to be able to continue to churn out this kind of content real quickly. And we have to be able to decide, to discern, to understand what is worthy of the attention and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with talking about a person like Andy No or she who will not be named, because there's going to be a lot of people that have never heard of these people or heard of their platforms or heard of what they do.
Yeah.
But that, so the idea is, are you giving that information? And now are you making people aware of who these people are and adding to the platform kind of thing?
Right.
And that's where I struggle. My thought is, all of us need the information to make better decisions.
There it is. You don't need to be caught off guard. We had this happen in our own household, right? Where one of the girls came across a content creator.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, I can't remember what her name is.
It's Brooke something. She is, you know, Ben Shapiro, but a girl.
Right.
And younger.
Right. Yeah.
Gen Z Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, oh boy. Yeah, that was a moment.
Yeah.
So yeah. We have to know who these people are. We have to talk about it so that we know who can be taken seriously. And that doesn't mean you're going to come across Andy No and be talking to him, right? But you may come across a person who follows his work.
Right.
And the reason that you would even possibly come across somebody who follows his work is he gets booked to be on these right wing, but I'm not right wing. I'm a centrist. I'm just asking questions. Joe Rogan. I'm just, you know, he was on those platforms as an expert.
An excuse.
And so when that's the case and you're at, you know, wherever you are and somebody is talking about how the Antifas have ruined Portland and all those progressive policies that just shut the city down, you know what to do with that.
Right. Right. Right.
There is nothing actually serious about this kind of grift, except for the danger that comes with it. And the danger is incredibly serious, because if the Department of Homeland Security, which LOL at you have at that or department anyway, but if the Department of Homeland Security is openly using white supremacist talking points and extreme right wing talking points as fact, as things that are happening on the ground, we can't be surprised when they are reluctant to call these domestic terrorists what they are.
Right. It all lines up.
It's a real Hannah Montana situation.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, have you seen, there are so many actual We Are Nazi groups mm-hmm. popping up everywhere. That is not an accident. That is not a, how do we get here? We know how we got here.
And these groups are littered with law enforcement.
Littered.
And military.
White ISIS.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think I saw that coming.
Meal Team 6. Okay. Gravy Seals.
That's probably my favorite one. Speaking of such, I'm going to hop into this Daniel Penny.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Whoa. We are almost done.
We're almost done.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. What was the last one? Gravy Seals?
Gravy Seals. Yeah.
Daniel Penny might be a hero to Confederacy Twitter, but the grand jury would like to have a word. 24-year-old former Marine Daniel Penny has been indicted. The exact charges will not be unsealed until Penny appears in court at a later date. He was initially arrested on a second-degree manslaughter charge for the death of Jordan Neely, a 30-year-old homeless man who was put in a chokehold by Penny on the New York City subway train on May 1st. The incident occurred on an F train in Brooklyn. Penny was on his way home from work when he said that he saw Neely acting erratically. Penny told police that Neely was threatening to kill other passengers. Penny put Neely in a chokehold and held him for several minutes. Neely lost consciousness and died at the scene. Penny was initially released without being charged. However, after the medical examiner's office ruled Neely's death a homicide, prosecutors brought charges against Penny. That's curious. Penny's attorneys have said that Penny did not intend to kill Neely and that his death was a tragic accident. Penny has disputed the claim that he held Neely in a chokehold for 15 minutes. He says the altercation lasted for less than 5 minutes. He has also said that he was acting in self-defense and that he did not intend to kill Neely. Penny also said the accusations that he, a white man, was motivated by race to harm Neely were ridiculous. He denied accusations that his decision to restrain Neely, a black man, was racially motivated when he told the New York Post that he is not a white supremacist. Quote, I didn't see a black man threatening passengers. I saw a man threatening passengers. Penny said, son.
I did not see color, guys.
Said, man. In a statement about Penny's New York Post interview, Dante Mills, one of the attorneys for the family, said, quote, this is an advertisement to soften the public's view of Daniel Penny, who choked Jordan Neely to death. We never called him a white supremacist. We called him a killer. Neely's family said they believe the charge is too lenient and should be for murder. The trial date has not yet been set.
Are white men okay? There's been a lot of indictments this week.
Checking on your peoples, man.
How many of them are about to start calling for the abolition of the justice system?
Oh, the wowzers.
Burn it down.
Wowzers.
The amount of people that I'm sorry, I didn't
mean it. Go ahead.
Just the amount of people that I saw, like, he's a hero. He did nothing wrong. Blah, 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 blah. What?
He removed someone from this plane of existence.
I mean, number one, self-defense, what?
Why didn't anyone else feel threatened?
Well, even if they did, this is an indictment on capitalism and its effects and the propaganda to me. Because if somebody's saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't care if I go to jail, doesn't sound like an actual cry for help to you, and it sounds like someone threatening your life, you lost. You blew it.
Yeah.
You blew it. Like, who's experiencing a bigger mental health crisis? A person who is
clearly communicating,
I am dehydrated, I am malnourished, I am not taking, I have no way to take care of myself right now, I need help. Or the person who hears that and says, this person got to get out of here.
Yeah.
This feels violent.
I use the phrase, the systems have us eating each other a lot. but this is a prime example of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, which one of those, where's the bigger mental health issue there?
Right.
And this is not me saying, you know, this is Daniel Penny was having a mental health crisis and we need to, you know, take a knee.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it is cuckoo bananas for your response to somebody being hungry and exhausted and frustrated. For your response to be so violent that you kill them, but then you're able to keep telling us that no, but like I'm a trained Marine, you know? So like I let go a little bit. Like I wasn't choking. I was going with, you know, the resistance of the body.
And I want to remind everyone what the initial reactions were. Like when I got to the part of the story where it said, you know, they did not arrest him until the coroner's office ruled it a homicide. I am so curious as to how else they planned on ruling it. One. Two, that's not why any of this happened. This happened because of public outcry. Because I do remember that stinky mayor saying, you know, we just gotta wait for, you know, we gotta wait for the results of the investigation. And
well, you do have to let it play out, Ambush. There's no way for us to know.
But then also leaning into vigilantism in a way that, deplorable. He went on to talk about how unsafe it is and that sometimes, you know, citizens need to step up to protect each other. But let's wait for the investigation.
Man's called for the Justice League?
Man's called for the Injustice League.
Well, okay. You know, I don't know the words. But is that, I mean, really, it was like, take to the streets, Gothamites. Yes. Like,
yes, he pulled a Bane. He let them all out of Blackgate.
This is the moment where I'm not shocked, but I just am like, wow, that guy is really the mayor. Like that guy really still has a job.
Don't do it again, y'all. Don't, please don't vote him back and like let his term run and then get him out of there.
You know who Eric Adams is giving me? Like, I feel like if Mingus Maps runs for mayor, he's going to become this. And I realize that I probably have ruined any shot I ever had in interviewing anybody, and I don't care.
Broke my internet. My head just fell back. If it wasn't properly attached, it would have rolled off of my shoulders and underneath the mixing board here. That is definitely what Mingus looks like as the mayor.
I honestly, I can't get over it. So, agree, Ambush. Daniel Penny was arrested because of the public outcry and the coroner saying, hey, that's a homicide.
I don't know if you guys saw the video.
You guys might have missed it.
My findings match the video.
This is a homicide.
That he didn't die of natural causes. And it has something to do with the interaction with this other person who had him in a chokehold. That's what my findings. My findings match the actual video that the public has seen.
What I find interesting is that this was not a secret, right? Like, the train stops. There's a dead man laying on the train. People get off. They're waiting around for the police. And when the police show up, there's no, hey, that guy just collapsed.
Right.
There are multiple videos. There are multiple angles.
I hate it here.
And you have the perpetrator saying, yeah, I had to like administer a restraint hold. I guess for, you know, until the train stopped, because otherwise that limp body that I was choking would have got up and killed everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And pay attention to who decides that this is a heroic act. You know, pay attention to who says, well, what would you would have done on the gave them food if I had it. Mind your business if you're not going to help.
Right. Or if your version of help looks like violence. Definitely.
No, legitimately, what happened to that? Y'all real quick to turn the other cheek when you see a man hitting a woman in the face. Now all of a sudden you're worried about women and children on the train? Women getting dragged, kids getting dragged into cars, no help, no stopping, no jumping in front of that bullet. But let me jump on this man's back, because he might do something.
Listen.
Where was the weaponry?
I don't like the way you're talking about this good guy with the chokehold. Because that's what he is. That's what Danny Brown is. All right. So.
A good guy with a chokehold.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is just something you keep in your pocket.
You know what's interesting about choking someone out? Often, whilst doing it, they're communicating that, hey, I can't breathe, and they're tapping out, and they're doing a lot of flailing. And if you're trying to subdue a person, once you've restricted their air for so long and you let that go, they're only consumed with the
trying to get air.
Right, with the ability to try to get air.
Yeah.
That's it. The message has been communicated. You don't need to put them out. You know?
And what makes a reasonable chokehold, right? Right. Like, the police aren't supposed to do chokeholds, period. 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 Point. Period. Done. Period. Put a T on the end of it. They are not supposed to do that. So why citizen Danny Rand can come over here and...
It is terrible that there bears a resemblance. But no, that's
why it. Does he get to do that?
That's really the beginning and end of the discussion. If it's illegal for law enforcement to do a chokehold, why is there any discussion? Why is there any discussion around this person not being held accountable at the scene of the crime?
Right.
The cops are like, hey, you're doing what we wish we could. So good job.
Not just that, but, you know, someone's got to get these vagrants off the train.
Me no like.
I will say this. I tried something new today. Some may call it an experiment. The top of the show, before we started the stories, I asked a question. And shout out to every single one of you that sent text messages, that engaged with us. And not a one of you said anything about me. Not a one.
Well, we gave them so much to digest directly after that question, right?
I was going
to
say, I think I ruined it. I do, in fact, not blame you. And this is not a passive aggressive cult leader thing to say. This is me saying.
This is workshopping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just a part of our production notes, you know.
You got two.
I'll try to do better.
Two texts, same person. A hero would have tried to get that man some food and water.
Ding, ding, ding.
Also, I've been a vegan for nearly a decade. Whenever anyone tells me it must be boring, I tell them to pop a ghost pepper in their mouth and then tell me how boring they are.
But hold on, fam. Are you just eating ghost peppers, or is that anecdotal? Because.
Yeah. Oof. Man. Yeah. I got your boy over here.
You don't have a mouth anymore? Yeah. Or is that what happens?
None of the jokes, bro.
Do you just burn off the taste buds?
Oh, my gosh.
Holy moly donuts. That's definitely not boring.
MJ, welcome back. It's been amazing.
Thanks, Ambush. Thanks for holding down the fort.
For your birthday. Coming on back in.
Coming back in. Yeah. Right before Father's Day.
It's true. One in the same.
One in the same this year. So we'll see who people love more, me
or fathers.
Their own dads.
This is News of My Fiance. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our podcast editor, Kyle G. Yes. Don't forget, you know, don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. And none of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
I did your bye last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.